It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a Realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Erling Haaland's unprecedented form continues as Man City hammer Nottingham Forest. Liverpool grab all 3 points from Newcastle thanks to Fabio Cavaglio's late winner. Chelsea in shambles after defeat to Southampton, but reinforcements are on the way. Manchester United win their third straight, plus Anthony's arrival and Ronaldo staying. Arsenal, a perfect 5 wins in 5 matches before Sunday's showdown at Old Trafford. And we assess the headline deals on transfer deadline day. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
That's right, Musty. And because the Premier League is back, so is a chance to win $50,000. By Premier League picking for free, and you can become the next big winner. Download the NBC Sports Predictor app today, available in the App Store or Google Play Store. Okay, my friend, let's start it off with the alien. the man who's come to English football, who's got back
from another planet.
He's got 9 goals in 5 Premier League games, first player to do that in Premier League history. Talk to me, Rob, about Haaland and maybe the conversation we had pre-season about it. It's going to take some time for him to get to know the team to get to know him getting used to English football. As he got better attributes than maybe we thought coming in at day one?
Oh, I think we have to say yes. I think I remember my thoughts pre-season were there was two slight concerns or two, reasons why he might not be great. One would be injury and one would be involvement in the game, given the way that Man City play. Now, the main thought of that was City will have to change a little bit to get the best out of Erling Haaland. And that's what's happened. I remember your comment, Rob, which is a good comment too, is like, you know what, I don't worry about that because good players will find ways to play with other good players and make it work. Mm-hmm. Now, this game yesterday was a good example of they've changed or they're playing to his strengths. 2 of his 3 goals came from crosses into the box. Cancelo makes a lovely cross with his right foot. But there is an extra willingness. I think we did a little breakdown tactics session last weekend, was it? About crosses. And that's proving to be very, very valuable. Now, go back to your question. Is he better at attacking crosses and being strong than we even thought? I think, yeah. I mean, like, it's pretty... I mean, even his celebration, Rob, I think after his... Oh, which one was it? Where he kind of he got up and headed his headed goal in the hat trick.
Yeah, the hat trick goal. Nottingham Forest.
I mean, he ran off to the side and jumped up in the air, and he's a flipping jump. He just looks like a giant. I think Bernardo Silva
nearly hit the floodlight, didn't he? His head nearly hit the floodlight when he jumped.
I know. And then Bernardo Silva came and jumped on him, right? And then another player almost jumped on the top of him, but he was still ahead of both of them. So I think his power, his size, is physicality is probably more than I expected. Again, like, there might be smart people out there who saw a lot more of him than what we did. We saw, of course, quite a bit of him, but not week in, week out was our focus on the Premier League. But those runs in behind, attacking those crosses, I mean, that's his bread and butter, and that's what's happening. And that's why, we're seeing this remarkable kind of level, Rob. And, I don't know, I saw a crazy stat or something. He's on for 70 goals and he keeps going at the same rate. The records, the records are going to be in trouble. That's 9 goals in 5 Premier League games, 2 hat-tricks. I mean, records already, I think the fastest in those two categories. So,
first time in August, I think a player's hit 9 goals. First time in the Premier League in 5 games. It's interesting, Rob, because I read a couple of reports after the West Ham hat-trick that teams were talking about how you are going to have to deal with Erling Haaland. So it's already out there. I think teams are already worrying that however we play City now, they've almost got another option. Pep was obviously super pleased with the acquisition, but talked about more of him being a team player, how important he is to the group. He's very good around the dressing room with the younger players as well as the older players. It just feels like, you know, for all those who were saying, you know, Pep can't do it with a nine, he's always done it with a false nine, it's another sort of feather in his cap to say, however he needs to do it, mate, this guy is going to change the way we've looked at English football when he's left.
I think it's fascinating to see how it's coming together, Rob. And you hinted at the first part there when your answer, where you sort of talked about, like, how do you stop him? And that now becomes the question. Now, like, a high line means he's going to be loving that.
Space in behind.
De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva, Gundogan, have all give us examples how they can play him in behind. Okay, so we've got to be careful of a high line. Let's sit back.
Yeah.
And again, going back to crosses, like, sitting back is good for nothing in behind, but if you're going to let crosses come in, which is impossible to stop Man City, they maneuver the ball, they're going to cross the ball. And him being so strong at attacking crosses, then it's like, wow, like, maybe two or three players. I don't know. It's early yet. And, you know, sometimes players have an early kind of, you know, like, euphoria about joining the league and excitement and do great and then slow off. I just think with his hunger, with his
Don't see it slowing off, mate, at all. Yeah. I see it going the other way. This fella's going to be insatiable for us. And let's not forget Julian Alvarez, who started this game. I think it was his first Premier League start, Rob. If Haaland's not taking the headlines, I think we're talking about Alvarez as another clever little Pep signing, speedy, you know, good incisive runs, good intelligence, fits in with the way they play. I mean, nothing like tick, 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 everything you want, isn't it?
Well, it is so far, Rob. You know, and listen, I'm a little bit nervous to say it, but back at the start, you know, I wasn't sure whether Alvarez was going to give you the goals. You know, they let Sterling go and they let Jesus go. And that's quite a lot. That's two different players that can come in and play in different spots, give Pep some plenty of options in rotation. Were they going to get the same from these two? And now obviously Haaland has blown that out of the water. Get that. And the team are playing great with him now. And Alvarez is the other one. You know, I saw plenty of stuff of him, Rob, in pre-season and video and watching.
Yeah.
And I thought he was a special little talent. But sometimes you just don't know. You just don't know how they're going to go. So, no, him getting his goal. I mean, Joao Cancelo's goal. How good was that goal? He smashed it in the top corner.
Oh,
Cancelo.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're looking special right now. I mean, if you want to pick a little holes, you know, defensively, they've conceded a few. Yeah. That might improve. I just, again, this is where we're going to bring in some of the signings, Rob. Now, they have... I think it was today, wasn't it? Manuel Akanji, a centre-back from Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting one. Another centre-back, and I think it's a good, you know, they could do with a bit of defensive cover. Left-back, you know, Cancelo can play there. We've seen Stones playing full-back position. So, you know, maybe they would have preferred a left-back for that spot. But I think bringing a centre-back in is a good, you know, they could do that. Just keep the others on their toes a little bit, Rob, and they've been a little bit more vulnerable.
It's interesting, Rob, that it was like, no, De Bruyne didn't start. I think Mahrez was on the bench, didn't he, and came on. So, you know, ahead of important Premier League games that they want to obviously going to keep pushing the envelope at the top of the table. But then we go Champions League kicks in from next week. And all of a sudden we'll be going like Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The next few weeks there's a few European games coming in. Then we'll have some cup competitions. And you just get the sense Pep, as he did last time, he's going to get people some rest as well as getting match time. He's going to get rest because that's important as the season goes on.
Yeah, and listen, he's shown over the last few years, Rob, that's not a problem, is it? He rests and rotates better than anybody else. We've always said that. You know, just at certain moments, not resting a ton of players at the same time, but, you know, he needs a little rest. He's had five on a spin and he's done brilliant at that. I mean, that, you know, in terms of their season as a whole, it's the back end of the European Champions League, Rob, that's when they've some big games. They haven't quite got over the line. They're getting blooming close. And now with Haaland's ability to score, oh, crikey, you know, it's tough. I don't know. There's a miles to go there.
We'll but there's miles to go. We've got a World Cup, mate. Yeah. It might have some effect.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting, I mean, I was just starting doing a few notes for the weekend after this midweek of games. And it's Villa Man City, isn't it, the weekend? Yeah, I was thinking about that game, yeah. And how, you know, Jack Grealish, Rob, you know, $100 million, signed for City. It's done okay. I don't think anyone would say he's letting the place up at the moment. But all of a sudden, you know, there's a bit of pressure on Jack now to find a position in that team. You've got Foden, you've got Mahrez, you've got Alvarez, you've got Haaland scoring, you've got Bernardo Silva looking like he's staying. You know, a guy who, you know, was the main man at Aston Villa, was bought for a lot of money and thought to be another piece for Man City. All of a sudden, you know, I know we're only 5 weeks into the season and he's picked up a bit of an injury, I believe, but all of a sudden he's quite... got a bit of work on Jack now. He's got a bit of work
on. Well, I think he even did. He did last year, Rob, didn't he?
He did last year, but I think people thought second year and once he'd had a pre-season and all that, you know, it might start to come. But I just think it could be really tough for him to find a spot in this team, Rob.
Yeah, I just think Phil Foden's better, Rob. I think Phil Foden's better, and a Man City team with Phil Foden on the left, you know, and if it's Mahrez or Alvarez. Yeah. You know, whoever it is on the other side, or Bernardo Silva's played out there. I mean, I just don't think he's in the strongest 11. You know, and that's the way it is. They got that luxury, Rob. They can buy a $100 million player, and you know he hasn't worked out where he's going to be one of the first guys on the team sheet. So I think it's when you go through the names, mate, and we start to see them and the new signings scoring and looking great. It's kind of scary, isn't it? It is kind of scary. Yeah. In terms of the Premier League, the only hope, as it looks right now, is if defensively they're not, you know, there's a few games where they're not quite on it. They give the ball away. Yeah. They're a little bit vulnerable in transition. But going forward, you know, again, you don't want to get too crazy too early. I mean, potentially it's the best they've ever looked. They've ever looked when you look at the options, Foden's development, forward, Julian Alvarez. Of course, Haaland, the new striker, you know, it's looking amazing going forward.
Yeah, some competent places in that team. Let's move to Anfield, mate, because I think all eyes were on Liverpool after the 9-0 demolition at Bournemouth that saw Scotty Parker be the first manager sacked this season. I think we all thought, like, Liverpool's season's kicked in now. We'll have a look at them. I thought this was a really tough game from Rob. And you know, the last minute, late 98th minute winner from Carvalho. Great scenes, no doubt does a lot for the dressing room, but I thought Newcastle gave him a good test. I like the look of Isak, the new Alexander Isak, came in up front. Good finish. He was unfortunate with one that he was inches offside, then he goes past and shows his composure again. And I thought in defeat and in the manner of defeat, Eddie Howe and his team could take a lot away from that, because I thought they gave Liverpool a bit of a test.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, it's continuing the same kind of narrative of Newcastle, Rob, under Eddie Howe, is that he's going in the right direction and he's brave with his tactics. And again, you know, not afraid to, mostly defensively set up, particularly second half. I thought they Liverpool up their game in the second half and put in more pressure. But, you know, Bruno Guimarães not playing, Sam Maxwell not fit, Callum Wilson not there as well. What a performance it was. Really, really good, particularly in the first half. And he's not going to get my underappreciated, but he's really, really close. Dan Byrne, by the way. God, give him a mention. Dan Byrne for Newcastle. The big centre-back, Rob. Can play different spots. God, he didn't have to make some challenges. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to use the size of his body to get his toe to things and look really good. He's good on the ball, that left foot coming out of defence. I thought he was really well. And Isak, he's got a little bit about him. We said that before he signed. He's got a little swagger when he's in the good spots. He takes his goal really well. And you're right. I mean, the second one that was offside, like marginal. He looks a sharp, good addition for the Geordies.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously with Callum Wilson to come back and St. Maximin, and you know, it all of a sudden looks quite bright for Eddie Howe. And you say brave with his tactics. Go to Anfield and be positive and confident in their play. How were you with the, because again, the goal came late, Robin. There was a little bit of chatter on social media that it was 98th minute that the referee had played so far on. Klopp came out and after and said, well, that's the way you punish the time wasting that Newcastle were doing. Often, you know, slow on free kicks, goal kicks, throw-ins, the kind of things that you have to do when you go away to better teams than you, and Liverpool are a better team than Newcastle right now. Were you okay with the way Newcastle went about the game?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch the game thinking it was particularly bad, what they were doing. Yeah. I just didn't. I mean, I did. I was like, wow, that's a lot of added time after the added time.
Yeah.
But I didn't go back and, like, look at every moment. You know, this stuff happens, doesn't it, Rob? I mean, people moan about Lego. I mean, it's so crushing for Newcastle.
Yeah.
I mean, the elation of Liverpool, of course, was evident. I mean, tremendous, like, roar and afterwards with Klopp going to the cop and all the rest of banging his chest a million times and all that. So a very powerful win for them. I did feel for Newcastle because they didn't have to play well.
Yeah.
Liverpool weren't good, Rob. Particularly in the first half, and most of my notes I made on the game were kind of about them, particularly in the first half. Second half, as Klopp often does, he finds a way to find some extra from his team when they were better, and they kind of battered them a little bit in the second half, but took them, of course, late to win it. But just a couple of things, Rob. Mo Salah's not playing well.
No,
it's been a few games now, and, you know, again, he's such a class player. I'm sure that it'll click and it'll start to go on a run of...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
it is. And just on their general play, right? I mean, my kind of like they're struggling to create in the final third a little bit. And I don't know what you think, but when I looked at it, kind of super intricate in that final third. Like, and listen, it's worked before, and they find little ways through. Of course, Sadio Mane is different now, but Luis Diaz can do a similar thing. And lots of attacks kind of broke down trying to pick a way through the middle. I just thought, God, not many crosses, that came in for them. So I think it's the first shot in target, Rob. Again, I made a note, 60th minute, and the goal came right after that.
Yeah, it was Harvey Elliott, wasn't it, I think, with the shot,
Yeah. And by the way, Harvey Elliott looks, he had a good game.
Yeah, I got a little note on him, yeah.
So they're still not playing great. No, they're not quite, something missing.
And it's interesting with Ken, because obviously they've got the Merseyside Derby, early kickoff at the weekend that, I'm sure they'll be boosted by. But, yeah, especially off the back of a 9-0, it didn't flow in the way. They haven't quite got their thing got back since the start of the season. And I know, you know, take away the 9 that they put against Bournemouth, and that's a great result and great day of finishing. But, yeah, you just feel like they're not really on top of the game. What I would say, Rob, and I think it's something we might have touched on earlier, is I just wonder if part of the next year or two, we're going to start to see this transition. Harvey Elliott, in particular, I think, has probably been as consistent a performer as they've had over the last few games. Carvalho comes on and you know, it's 2-2 for him, gets a wonderful goal. It's a great moment. It's going to lift him. He's going to feel better. Think of Nunez now, free from suspension, you know, his age. Diaz, Konate probably is going to, you know, establish himself, I would think. Wonder if it feels like there's a slight younger transition. There's another wave coming of this Liverpool team, Rob, because, you know, in some respects, the Hendos and the Fabinho
Milners
and, yeah, are all, you know, not aging out, but, you know, that drive and that energy becomes a little bit more difficult as you get a bit older. And it's these young guys who are going to come with new energy, with more drive, and, you know, if they can keep the quality. I'm not talking about, you know, people then being discarded in one. I just think over the next year or two, I think that's what we might sort of see from Jurgen Klopp.
I think you're right. I think we will see it at points this season. Fabio Cavaglio, Rob, the young kid they got from Fulham, I think it's only $10 million. You know, brilliant deal for a young kid. Yeah. Obviously, wanting to come to the football club. I think it's tough not to like what he's done when he's come on as sub. He gets the goal, which is going to be huge for his own confidence. Back to your point of a changing Liverpool, he's another one, isn't he? In terms of young midfield players. Now, Arthur Melo, Rob, is a signing, transfer day signing on loan from Juventus. He's a midfield general. He's like a Thiago in some of his passing. Yeah. He's got a little bit more about him defence strength-wise.
A bit more aggressive, isn't he? A bit more aggressive on the ball,
He seems a nice passer.
Dribbles with the ball.
I think they needed something in midfield, Rob, didn't they? A few injuries in there. And like you said, Milner. had a couple of, or well, at least one game where he looked like he was struggling a little bit in the middle of the park. Henderson's got another injury, I think. So they needed something in there.
Talking about hamstring now, yeah.
but I think Fabio Cavallio, on the positive side of things, I mean, he could be a big player. I think he could be a really big player.
It was interesting that Jurgen Klopp had said, I think some people initially thought maybe come in and go out on loan for a year or something. And Klopp went, no. He'll be with us and he'll have opportunities, you know, these games he's going to play. So, I think there's definitely a look to some of those younger players, and Jurgen Klopp is a manager. I don't think mine's making those big decisions. Just quick word as well for my old friend Bobby, another Bobby, a Bobby Firmino, Mr. Musto. Just that, you know, many thought, is his time come, and Mane went and Nunez came in and Diaz has come in. Still important to the team, Rob. Gets the goal. You know, still nicks the play up. Still, listen, he gives them a different option, but I still think he's an important player for Liverpool Football Club. But I just think discarding him as well as Mane too early might not be a good thing.
I agree with that. It's not time to discard him. Yeah. I mean, obviously, he came on to a game, as you sometimes say in the game, you come on to it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The game, you kind of come on to a good game during a game. I thought, quite honestly, in the first half, he was very in and out, like some good. Mostly giveaways, disappointing plays, I thought, and I made a note of it. So, like, obviously he came into a game in the second half, as did a lot of the Liverpool team. So, I agree. I just think Darwin Nunez is the future. I think
he might take a bit of time, Rob Nunez. Well, it might take him a little time. And that's when I just think you need that. To get you through some days, get you through some difficult moments, and hopefully he can grow into the player that we all know he could be. But yeah, it's an interesting one, and getting the balance right is going to be a big thing for Klopp starting this season.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric never could be. It was built with a driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience the electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Let's move it on, my friend. Let's move it down to Southampton versus Chelsea at St. Mary's. An interesting game for lots of reasons. The Fofana business was all done, and I think they were sort of putting him out on social media, and, you know, he was talking about how pleased he is to be at the football club, train with some of his teammates, etc., etc. A Chelsea team that I think we've all been a little unsure of where they are. Certainly in the forward areas of the pitch, it's not quite clicked into gear. They go down to St. Mary's. They lose 2-1. And Thomas Tuchel talks about his team being too easy to play against, Rob, was his phrase. We're almost like they're a bit nice and they don't resilient enough against Southampton team that will play a certain way, that are well coached. And in the end, I thought deserved the victory.
Did deserve a victory. I mean, Southampton have surprised us all a little bit. And to be fair, Rob, I think we said at the start, like, this is going to be difficult to kind of predict.
I had them to go down, Rob. I'll put it out there. Yeah. You know, I had them down as a third team. And listen, they've had a great start. Nothing to say what's going to happen between now and the end of the season. But, you know, again, it looks like Ralph Hasenhüttl is doing his stuff.
Well, and the club and the new owners are doing what we expected them to do. Yeah. Their strength is smart acquisitions in the market. And that's why it's difficult, because they've got a 20-year-old goalkeeper, an 18-year-old central midfield player. Yeah. They haven't played much. You know, another 20-year-old defender, I think. I mean, lots of new players coming in.
I've got him here, 18-year-old Lavia, 17 million. Mara, 13 million. Yeah. Rebo, 12 20. Million. Bosicacic, 10 million. Bazunu, 18. I think you can add Maitland-Niles and maybe one or two others to that list. And it's really interesting, Rob, because it was a game where I'm seeing Thomas Tuchel, and I'm hearing and seeing that Thomas wants this player and that player and this centre forward and that. They spent 100 million on Fofana or there and thereabouts, which is probably all that Southampton spent for the whole players this season. And I just want to give my underappreciated performer of the week, my friend.
Oh, go on, then Ralph. Go for it. Oh, the manager.
The manager who, again, I wasn't too sure where this club were going at the start of the season. Mm. I was worried about what they bought in, lack of experience. And what I like about, you talk about the recruitment, the network that they must have in scouting players and bringing in potential, and then having a manager, Rob, who can coach them. Southampton were a better coached operation than Chelsea were on the day. Southampton knew more what they were doing than Chelsea did on the day. There were times I was watching Chelsea in the second half, and it almost looked like they didn't know what... It looked like it was off the cuff. Mason Mount was running around like a headless chicken, didn't know where he was, where to play on the pitch. Honestly, so I was watching him for a while, and I thought, right, I'm a midfield player, chuck him. He was sort of drifting over to the right. He was coming to the left. He wasn't sure if he was behind Sterling or Havertz or whether he was going to go past them. And honestly, I thought, you know, as well as Southampton played, and we must give them credit for the victory and Hassan Hurtles, my underappreciated performer of the week. I thought Chelsea was shocking, man.
I did too. 4-3-3, change of system.
Yeah.
Something a little bit different. I made exactly the same note. In fact, I wrote down, good players, not a good team right now. Lacking game plan. Totally same. He's been there long enough now. I know there's some kind of transition, but same thing. Like, wow, like what are they doing? Now, we've heard reports that Tuchel is getting involved, heavily involved in the transfer side of things to help out with the new ownership. And maybe he's been off the training ground. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I just think, wow, what are they? And let me give you something else, Rob, about them. And again, you know, I'll ask you as well. I'll make this a question to you. The Premier League right now, I feel like, is getting younger, is getting faster, is getting more intensity, even more intensity, particularly in attacking areas. Thiago Silva is an absolute legend. Love him. Couldn't love him more as a defender. He's 37. Azpilicueta's 33. Koulibaly's 31. Now, Koulibaly has been a brilliant defender, right? I think he has been even surprised how quick this Premier League is.
He's got caught out a couple of times.
I think he got caught against Leeds a few times against some of them young players, and now he's running by him and turning inside him. Now, you know, I'm not saying that's the reason but I don't know. I think sometimes when you're seeing these young Southampton forward attackers, Rob, the Leeds young forwards against this back line that's super experienced, really, like, they've won a ton of stuff, all of them, but
it's
something to watch for.
Fofana's possibly... an option, isn't he? To give you a bit more pace and mobility and that. But you're right. You know, if you look at the 33 sums, lots of experience, but sometimes experience doesn't help you, mate. I've always said experience doesn't help you when somebody knocks a ball past you and gets on the toes. That's the one time experience has no value. And it's also, Rob, a little bit like, you know, Tuchel's sort of talking about, you know, what they want, and they talk that Aubameyang's in the country and doing the medical today, and that's close to being done. So it will at least give him a centre forward. But listen, you had Lukaku, who was an informed centre forward, came to the football club scoring goals for fun in Inter Milan in Italy, and came in and struggled in this team. And there's a stage where, when I compare Tuchel to Ralph, and Tuchel's done a brilliant job since he's gone in, he's won the Champions League, he's kept the club in Champions League football, but it feels like, come on then. What's next? What's next with this group? Like, where are they going to get close to titles? Where are we going to get the consistency? Where are we going to see a little bit more about, like you say, their last third play? I always feel with Chelsea, Rob, most of their football is played in a way that if you defend reasonably well, they shouldn't really score against you.
Mm.
They don't upset you.
They
don't really upset me as a back four where I'm lots of like last-ditch blocks and lots of shots. You know, I'll... City make chances, and Liverpool when they're flying make chances, and Spurs make chances, even though they're counter-attack chances. Never really see the same goal opportunities for Chelsea when they play.
Well, we're going to learn something now, Rob. And just on the signings, is according to, his Twitter legend, Eddie Fabrizio Romano, who's the guy to follow in terms of transfers. He's saying that Aubameyang and
Zachariah, is it?
Zachariah, the midfield player.
Yeah.
Juventus. He's on loan. Going to be on loan. They are signing contracts at Chelsea as we speak, is what we've just got come through. So, again, we're doing this right at the end of the transfer window, by the way. So, some of these deals come through a little late. That'll help in midfield. Zachariah will help in midfield. Big, strong midfield.
He's a big old lad. Yeah, I saw him.
Back to Aubameyang, Rob. We know, right? He's a scorer. Okay? Yeah. He's a scorer. He scored goals everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, Thomas Tuchel, we said on our last pod, Robert, so I certainly think starting to think about this, that all the forward players are not doing it.
Yeah.
Now, is it down to the slow approach play of Chelsea, the total control, the patience of the build-up? Front players are not finding spaces because teams have got opportunities to defend. If Aubameyang comes into this team and can't score many goals, then we're starting to get answers about why this team is struggling to score goals. And it might not be Havertz, and it might not be Lukaku, and it might not be Timo Werner and everybody else, and Pulisic and other players that have struggled to do well as attacking players. So we're going to learn something.
It's a good thought, Robin. And they used to be, you know, there always used to be a bit of a saying that coaches are either more defensive-minded and get that right, and, you know, the full nine, or the other way around. Maybe with Tuchel, it's about he hasn't really got that imagination, the creativity, whatever it requires to influence those guys up front in a way that, he can be more stoic and a bit more disciplined.
He's got to get the best out of them, Rob. He's got to get the best out of his front players. And he has not done it. He has not done with any of them.
Mm.
But this guy's
It's interesting to see what coaching works done, what work's done on the training ground. Mm. This guy's a scorer. Can they create chances? Sometimes it's about, and I suppose a lot of it comes on the wing backs. Getting in good spots to create those chances is something I think there's an over reliance on those wing backs. When I look at the team, Rob, outside of that, I don't see many goals. I was watching them against Southampton. Sterling apart.
Yeah, Sterling's
Havertz, Havertz, Mount, Ziyech played. Neither of those players, Rob, I think, get enough joy from scoring goals. I think they get joy from playing well.
That might be it. That might be it. And Sterling might be another little answer for us. If Sterling continues to score goals,
then
we're looking at the individuals again. Werner's gone, and Havertz is not. Maybe he's not cutting it, and everybody else, because Sterling looks sharp and he is making things happen. So that's kind of what is interesting with Chelsea. You know, the system, the way they're playing. You know, he's got to settle them down. Like, this isn't good. This has been a really poor start, given the money they've spent, throughout the window. I mean, it's not just today. They've done a lot of business.
And still spending, mate. So, just a footnote. It looks like Marcus Alonso could be going the other way in the Barcelona deal with Aubameyang. You've been trying to get that one. And just quickly, Rob, as the window closes and business is done and you are where you are now through till January, and obviously the World Cup is encompassed in that, Christian Pulisic, my friend, will be at Stamford Bridge. How much time is he going to get? How much opportunities do you see him getting? Off the bench, 20 minutes, making things happen, League Cup.
Yeah, I think that's going to be it. And it's really disappointing. I'm not hearing that he was pushing for a move. He might have been like that stuff like that's hard to kind of get. His attitude is good. I actually thought he came on and didn't do well. I mean, I always
give the ball away. Give the ball away. Fell over it and
It's just not best. It's not great for the US men's national team going into a World Cup. You want one of your best players to be sharp, to be hungry, to be in brilliant game match rhythm, is what they call right now. So. No, he could have absolutely done to go somewhere and play. Absolutely. And there was plenty of clubs that wanted him, Rob. There was Man United rumour. There was Newcastle United rumour. So Tuchel loves him off the bench. Like, well, that's great. You know, good. But it's not helping the player develop much, improve much, come on much, enjoy his football much, and get ready for a World Cup. I know that's not Chelsea's job, is to get their players ready. But you're right to bring him up. It's a, you know, it's a blow for him. Just move on, Rob, with this window done now. Of course, it's January to come.
Yeah.
Chelsea, like, they're going to struggle for top four, aren't they? Is that got to be their target now?
Yeah, I think it was before they started, Rob. I think top four is still the priority for Chelsea. I don't think Chelsea... I wasn't sure Chelsea were going to are that well equipped to close the gap.
They spent a lot of money on Kukurea and Sterling and Koulibaly, to try and push higher and to threaten those two. That would have been the aim. I'm sure it would have been the aim. But anyway, new ownership transition. Yeah, you know, we get all that. We've got a sporting director yet.
A lot of changes at the football club, but we've got to see a little bit more consistency on the pitch, I think, and a little bit more threat in the attacking field, which are things that we've been saying for Chelsea for quite some time now, mate, if we go back to last season.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Let's move on to a team that is always in the news, Manchester United. Back-to-back wins under Ten Hag. Go away and face Leicester at the KP Stadium. Leicester's always a team. It's interesting, Rob, because as this game came in, I thought, under normal circumstances, Leicester v Man United is the play, is KP rocking, Leicester having a real go, United being full stretch to get something, whether it's a win, draw, or they end up getting beaten. You know, Vardy flying all over and that. And it's very, very different now. It's a very different football club, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I'll start with what the manager said afterwards, Rob. Brendan Rodgers said that I can't fault the players. They gave everything. Well, I couldn't disagree more. Particularly in the first 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a Leicester passive, slow, walking at times. I mean, I haven't seen Leicester for a long time.
No,
there's moments of football, and of course they got some nice footballers. But the Premier League right now is, you know, you've got to be more than just playing a little bit of pretty.
Way more.
God, it was so easy for Manchester United, who played really well, by the way. Of course, we'll get on to them. But I was shocked how uninspired, mate, which is a strong word, you know, to describe with a team performance. Uninspired, passive, poor, you know, like and bothered. They didn't look bothered, not driven. Now, you know, he points to other circumstances that haven't helped, is what he said afterwards as well.
Yeah.
And that's a few players that want to leave and stuff. But
all that goes away from today, Rob. From this moment on, then it goes away. And then now it's a little chest for Brandon, sitting bottom of the table. To win, it's you know, players who work, you know, the Tielemans and whatever, the Madisons, right? Get your head down now. You've got a World Cup coming up, you've got club football to play. It's a little test for Brennan because a little bit of the edge has gone out of Leicester, and Leicester without the edge and nowhere near the team that they can be.
They need edge. Every team needs edge. If you don't have that, if you lose that, God, don't we know that? Like, if you lose that. That work ethic and the distance covered and the competitiveness, then you're going to drift down this league really quickly. Mm. And they've already done that. I mean, I don't want to pick on the guy. Danny Ward, the goalkeeper, Rob, is a big problem. And I'm not, he's a big problem. Even the goal, just way slow coming out. It was a simple move, lovely touch from Jadon Sancho.
Yeah.
He thinks he can get, he's nowhere near it. He's out of position. I have seen so many Leicester goals that he could have done better. And that would worry me. I'm telling you, that is worrisome. We'll watch it closely from now on. With Danny Ward in goal for Leicester City, Kasper Schmeichel, of course, moving to South of France.
Yeah,
you know, good for him, to Nice, going to Nice. But Ward, that's going to be a problem.
when Mustafa's got a red line on you, my friend Danny Ward, you better be doing some extra training because he's looking. Let's talk about United. I thought they were good in possession. There's a bit more structure to what we see. I kind of am starting to like a back four that looks like it's got a bit of stability. I kind of, Martinez being a bit more aggressive and Varane looks like at least a partnership, Rob, whether how good it's going to be, how long it can stay, how good it is, but at least it looks and feels like a partnership. Dalot gives you 7 out of 10 performances and at the moment, not too many boys. Malasio on the other side. I think Christian Eriksen's benefiting from being in a team who want to give him the ball, have confidence in him, Rob, wants to play. Bruno's come onto his game a little bit more, I think, since maybe Ronaldo's out and the captaincy. And there was a bit of fat up front. Sancho, again, is looking a bit livelier. We're starting to see more of the Jadon Sancho that I think we all know. We saw at Dortmund. So generally, Rob, yeah, stable, three straight wins. We're seeing something. It's not sexy football yet, but I'm okay with that. Let's start to build something. Let's start to put something together. And then hopefully the flowing football over the weeks and over the next few months will start to come.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it. It's obvious that the foundation is better. Mm. Defensively, there was moments in the game second half where they had to defend a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's moments when Dallo comes in to make a challenge, goes back, high fives his teammates. Mm. You know, Raf Ferran's right there. Alessandro Martinez is fired up to do well.
Yeah.
Time will tell whether he's going to be the consistent, really good player that they hope he will be. But just the spirit amongst the back four is an obvious improvement, and it gives them a little bit of foundation. Into midfield, yeah, Christian Eriksen in there, it just makes it different. I mean, he's just got quality. He wants the ball. He doesn't give the ball away. There's a silkiness to it. He finds Bruno Fernandes a lot better now. I mean, I just think they're finding a nice rhythm with their football. The wide players are, you know, Jadon Sancho's getting quality now. I'm still not sure that Marcus Rashford is going to be the striker that they think they can get. Again, please prove me wrong. We've seen so much of him now. And I just thought I thought at times it looked quite classy, actually, Rob. Quite classy.
Yeah.
Now, we've hammered Leicester, and they weren't great opponents.
No.
And we'll talk about the matchup with Arsenal. We'll talk Arsenal next, then we'll just talk about the potential for Sunday, that game between those two. But I just thought, deserve the victory, no drama, well done, well done, Eric Ten Hag, for finding a way to turn this thing around. It was rock bottom, Rob. After those first two league games, I think we can't get any worse than this. And he's found a foothold, and the back four was the starting point.
Yeah.
And they can trust them a little bit now, where with particularly Maguire and Shaw, that side of the defence was not commanding or a strong part of the defensive side of things. Now it looks better. Malacia looks really good. Looks really good. And finishing just on the new players, well done, Ten Hag. Now, you know, in modern day football, the sporting director, the manager has less say on transfers. At the moment, he's had a ton of say. And I think because United's, that department is not the best. I think it's probably good that he is. He's an old school manager. I like this player from my old club and all that. And they've made the team better, Rob. Each one so far have made the team better. So, and he's getting players playing again like Bruno Fernandes and Jadon Sancho. So I thought it was good. New players have helped. And of course, Antony from Ajax, $100 million. Give me your thoughts on that move.
You better be bloody good. If you spend this much time, this much money, see lots of clips, Rob, of great entertaining. Apparently, very good at winning the ball back in the attacking third, so he can start your press off. Lovely left foot, can make things happen. Interested to see him come in the team. Like to play on the right hand side, I think. So he'll come in. Lange comes in on his left foot and make things happen. Wouldn't necessarily say it was United with that bear in that position, but if you can bring a quality operator like he can, if he can make
wide
goals,
wide right, Rob, they're bear.
Well, to a certain degree, you could get Rashford out there if you end up with Martial up top or vice versa. I'm not saying for me it wasn't a crucial position to fill. I would rather have got a centre forward, mate.
I totally agree. But close behind, in my opinion, was wide right. Rashford didn't want to play out there. Sancho's better coming in from the left hand side. Mm. He looks comfortable. He's getting his goals now. Again, a player that the manager knows. I mean, he's going to be entertaining. I mean, you've only got to look at some of his games.
Spins, flicks, and nutmegs.
It's going to have everything. And that's kind of exciting, Rob. Now, when you look at it, right, just let me paint a little bit of a picture for you here. And by the way, a couple of things on Casemiro. First off, do you see when he came on, and he put his shirt on?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's a little older now. He's ripped.
He's
ripped.
He's running into a brick wall. Yeah,
he's a brilliant player.
Proper footballer.
He's a really good footballer. Now, if you think of him in holding the midfield, right, you might have a combination of with him, you know, with Eriksen and Bruno, there's your little three.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff going on there. Mm. You've got Anthony, Rashford / Ronaldo.
Yeah.
And Jadon Sancho.
Yeah.
Now you're talking, and that back four, that's much improved back four, that is the potential of an exciting Man United front line, by the way. Anthony, Jadon Sancho coming to form. And I don't know whether I just feel that Ronaldo in, and I know it's risk to make him a starting player in a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. Mm. And I know our friend Danny Higginbotham on the show today kind of thought, yeah, I'm not sure whether it fits the philosophy. And that's a valid argument. But doesn't that sound like a...
Yeah, I mean, if you can get him in and him adding to what you've got and bringing his goal threat and, you know, a half press and being in the right places at the right time, listen, you don't discard people of that quality, Rob. What I would say, mate, on that side, and I agree, that's quite exciting. I think I like the Eriksen and Bruno thing. I particularly like
Casemiro
behind them. I think that could be really good. My slight concern with an outlook like that, Rob, is when I'm playing, and I wouldn't always say better teams, but the better teams, but some teams in the Premier League now who want the ball, what are some of them going to be good enough for us without the ball? Are they going to do what's required for the big teams without the ball?
Mm. Maybe.
I think that we'd have to learn. And maybe that's what he's got to work on. Maybe they've got to have a better strategy of how they're going to win the ball back, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Afterwards, Rob, I made a note afterwards what he said, Erik ten Hag afterwards said, we need players to defend together and to attack together.
Yeah,
again,
absolutely.
Love hearing that. But that goes to the point of can Ronaldo, can Anthony, can Sancho, can everybody else work
off when they,
both going forward and defensively? So
two-way players, yeah.
No, I thought it's good. And the progression continues. Well done, Erik ten Hag.
Yeah. And just a note on Manchester United as well, they've got Dubravka in the building. I think he's coming on loan. Might be, I think, some options to buy on that one. But I think that should be done from Newcastle. So he could even be on the bench against Arsenal at the weekend. Shall we move it on to the Gunners, my friend?
Go for it.
100% record. Only team in the Premier League. 5-5. Mikel Arteta getting it done. Mm. Again, I thought we saw another little side to Arsenal. I thought in terms of the two football teams, Arsenal were light years ahead of Aston Villa, Rob. Mm. What they were trying to do, the way they were trying to do it, the football they played, I thought was way above what Villa could offer it, certainly in the first half. They get the goal. Villa get, whether lucky or badly defended, corner kick from Douglas Luiz goes straight in. And then what is a couple of minutes later, we get the reaction that we start to see from an Arsenal team who know now. This Arsenal team, Rob, are handle disappointment way, way better than they did in the past. There was times when Arsenal used to concede a goal when everything would be all over the place. People would be sulking, people would be moaning, people wouldn't be doing the job. Now it just looks like it's a whole different thing. It's a blip. We're going to get on and we're going to move on. And that's the biggest thing I think I've seen out of Arsenal. There's a resilience and a maturity now about them, regardless of whatever the score is.
Yeah, I mean, they're grooved. They're in a great pattern right now. I mean, some might argue that they've had a good run of teams to play against who aren't in good form, and it's been a great start. But so what? I mean, you still got to beat what's in front of you. That old chestnut, that old cliche, and they've done that really well. It continues. The feel good factor continues. The Emirates is buzzing right now, which is great.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's surprised with beating Aston Villa 2-1. You know, we know that Aston Villa with Steven Gerrard is still.
Yeah.
You know, he's fighting off the questions in press conferences now. They're trying to improve. They're trying to get better. I see in the market, Rob, just on that, Leander Dendonca from Wolves, a midfield player, is going to go to Aston Villa.
And into Villa, yeah.
They've also got Jan Bednarek on loan from Southampton, Rob.
Yeah.
Now, I know that the centre-back position for Aston Villa has been a problem. And it is a problem. Yeah. Diego Carlos, the guy that they bought to play there, has ruptured his Achilles tendon. He's going to be out for such a long time. So he needed some cover there. And also in terms of the transfer for Arsenal, Rob, the news. And I was excited to see this, to be honest, for Arsenal. Douglas Luiz from Villa.
Yeah.
Arsenal put in two, three, four
His contract's up in a year, isn't it? So he's going to be free in the summer.
He's out the team. He's out the team. The new kid, the Kamara, Boubacar Kamara's playing in his role. Yeah. He played the other day, didn't look
Although
great.
Stephen Gerrard did say he wanted to keep him, in fairness. He said the club are doing what the club have to do, but he wanted to keep him because he's one of my better players. But it looks like that deal's not gone through, though, Rob. I'm not quite sure where
it's not happening. The
hitch has come up. Yeah.
Well, Villa just turned down the offers, didn't they, from Arsenal?
Oh, did they? They
just turned down the offers. It was about an hour before the deadline was due to close. There was a final offer from Arsenal rejected. So I just think that would have been a brilliant sign-in for Arsenal. I like him as a player. He's in that age. I think he's like 23, 24. But we're going to find some more stuff out on Sunday, my friend. Manchester United versus Arsenal on Sunday, 11:30 Eastern time. It's on USA and Telemundo. Mm. Now we're going to get a bit of where we're at, both with Manchester United.
For both teams, I think we'll find out a little bit more about both these teams and where we're at and what we can expect. And I sense Arsenal are in the frame of mind where they're looking forward to it. I know they missed... I just want to make a little mention, actually. They missed, obviously, Partey out the midfield, and then he's got a knock. And Lukonga played in there, by the way, mate.
I don't mind him at all.
He's one of them, I think, could grow and give him the space. And there's a few opportunities he could do well. I thought the two Gabriels, Martinelli and Jesus, are flying at the moment on top of the game. Look like they're really... Jesus looks so sharp and he's all-round game, Rob, looks to have developed now, whether that's just confidence or just being the guy now in the centre of the pitch. Martinelli's such a threat on the outside. Thought Saka on the other side could have got himself at least a couple of goals, makes the second goal, but, you know, he's playing a lot more narrowly, a bit closer to goal. Looks like, he's goal-hungry. Well, let's say the Chelsea players don't look like, they're that desperate to score. He does. So I think it's a good test. I think it's some of that structure that we think's in place for United, I think will be tested by the way Arsenal play.
Mm. No, it will be. And Arsenal are going to get some questions asked of them defensively, given the form that some of those United forwards are in. I'm so pleased that Manchester United are finding form going into this game. I don't want to watch a struggling Manchester United at home, Old Trafford with the fans, I want a big occasion. I want both teams playing well, and that's what we've got. I mean, could you imagine the size of step of progression if Manchester United can beat Arsenal? You know, now it's a big if, but the expectation level, the flipping Old Trafford, everything about Old Trafford changes totally. Sorry about that. With a victory. But I would just have to edge with Arsenal for now. I think we know United's defence is stronger, but the structure in front of it has been better with the ball. But is Eriksen and them going to be okay?
Yeah.
You know, when Arsenal kind of... When they're out of possession, that's good. We're going to find out some stuff there. But brilliant, brilliant, brilliant game for Sunday. I'm so pleased that both teams are in great form.
Absolutely. And two clubs who are, desperate to get back to those glory days, mate. And this game is a start. It's a chance for one of those teams to start to think about... at least closing the gap and starting to challenge at the top of the league. So, great game to look forward to at the weekend.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What was the other big game in London this week? Was it London Stadium? West Ham 1, Spurs 1. So much going on, mate. I saw the highlights of this one. Spurs going ahead to the own goal. Carey wasn't the centre-back. Trying to clear the ball that played across. It was another classic counter-attack, wasn't it? Remember, it was Declan Rice went forward for West Ham. They overcommitted a few players. Spurs have the front three, Kulusevski, Son and Kane, breakaway, and the goal comes. Yeah. But Venice and West Ham kept coming back things. And one of my takeaways with Spurs was, Rob, and it's something I know we talked about I thought they were more open to penetrate than I've seen them for a while. I thought West Ham had a few good looks at goal, and that was West Ham playing some decent football. But also, I thought they were a little bit loose, Spurs, in terms of that defensive thing that he wants to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to watch 10 games in 3 days. Yeah. I saw highlights as well. But the highlights showed at the end of the game that West Ham were knocking on the door. They were asking all the questions.
Yeah.
And Spurs were a little bit loose and were all over the place. Thomas Suchet gets in behind, takes his goal really well. That's exactly the sort of goal that he scores running forward from midfield. And Antonio Conte complained about the handball that was VAR kind of changed it, hit the face of the head of
Creswell, wasn't it?
Creswell. Good. I mean, decent result. Again, like, we're just trying to spin in the deals that's happening with the two clubs here. And West Ham United, Rob, nothing today, I don't think. In fact, for either club, no deadline day deal.
No.
But Lucas Paqueta, I think is actually the correct pronunciation, but I'm sure it's going to get butchered for a few weeks from all over the place. This is an exciting signing.
Mm.
He's a starter for Brazil.
Yeah.
Attacking midfield player, super silky, little left foot, like he's one of them. He's
unlike David Moyes signing, isn't he? In some respect, which is, I don't want to be disrespectful to David Moyes because he's done a great job and he's working with some good players, but he comes from a different place and different base, doesn't he? He's beautiful left foot, balance, and the way he runs with the ball and silky, proper silky player.
Yeah, apparently he likes to tackle as well. He'll win the ball back himself as well. It's just a good sign. It just reminds me of Dimitri Payet a little bit for that football club, Rob, that they got a player. The fans love that sort of player at that club. We know that. I think he's somebody to watch out for. I know my son's was going to try and get him in his fantasy team. But of these late kind of deals the last two or three days, he is one that you got to watch. I'm going to look out for him because I think he can make a difference to them. And, you know, we know they've got like their Fennels.
Where do you think he plays, Rob? In the ten?
So. Yeah, I think that's where he prefers, in that central area. But I think when you've got that sort of talent, anywhere in the 4-2
front,
the
three
behind the one,
nine.
So that's it. That's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. Yeah. It's going to be really good.
Yeah, it's great for West Ham, obviously, to have a player like that. You know, not just about the hard work and the work off the ball, but they've got a few good operators now. You know, the Ben Rama, the Fennels, the Bowens, Antonio, as well as Scamacca, the big guy up front.
He spent some money. He's been backed. Yeah. He's been backed in this window.
Yes, should make them exciting, West Ham. Obviously, they've got European football to deal with as well. Just quick mention, we did get our first sacking of the season, Scotty Parker, after the 9-0. I'm sure it was more to do with what he said, actually, than actually the 9-0 performance on the pitch, which wasn't great. Got Liverpool in a good day. But, you know, the doom and gloom and the sort of, I suppose, not being on the same page as the owner, I believe, is the reason that they felt they had to make a change, as though everybody wasn't aligned with the same strategy. I think criticism of the players coming in, some criticism of the group that they had, made it an awkward one for Scott. I'm not quite sure what he was looking to gain out of that. And in the end, unfortunately, it's cost him his job. Gary O'Neill took over this one and 0-0. Played after 0-0 draw with Wolves, which fair play to O'Neill just dropping in and taking the job on short circumstances. Must have been difficult. Got themselves a point. But Scotty fired after four games, mate. Decent opportunity for somebody. Is this a Sean Dyche back in the door kind of opportunity?
I think he's the perfect guy, given they haven't spent a lot of money. They know it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a bit of a grind. And Sean Dyche is one of the best grinders out there. All I would say is I'm not sure he'll take it, Rob. I'm not sure he'll take the position. I think he'll wait for a better job to come up in the league.
Will a bigger Premier League club take Sean Dyche now?
I think the
profile of the coach is changing, Robin. I'm not sure if Sean Dyche has felt as more yesterday's type of coach.
I agree, but as an emergency guy, as a modern day Sam Allardyce.
Oh, so know, wait till November or whatever.
Yeah, he could become one of those. And if he goes into a club and does well, keeps. I mean, he would, given what he's done there and the way that he did it, it's got to be, particularly teams that are conceding so many goals, he'll get them better defensively.
Yeah. Yeah.
And try and grind and get some counter-attack and get some points that way. I don't know. But, I mean, Scott Parker, just quickly on that, Rob, we listened to his interview live and we looked at each other and our jaws just got lower and lower and lower with some of the stuff that he was saying. I mean, you can't say stuff like that. Yeah. He must have known what was coming up with the club and the market and all that. And he knew that we weren't going to get a lot of. But to say that we're not equipped and... I mean, you know, we got...
It was obviously...
I thought it was bad.
I just thought it was bad. I mean, we talked about it afterwards, didn't we? He said, I don't know what he's doing there. It's almost like he was forcing a situation. He was either forcing them to get some money out and give them players, or they were forcing him to take the sack, and it was the latter. But either way, pointing of the ways, Bournemouth now need to install someone, you think, pretty quickly, because they don't want to lose too much ground. I mean, you know, let's remember the first game of the season, mate. They beat Villa as well. And we're all thinking, wow, what a great score. And, you know,
I know
how things have changed from there. A couple of other results, mate, of the week. Crystal Palace 1, Brentford 1. Well, Saha back in the team and back with a brilliant goal. And I know I'm going to stop there, my friend, and let you take over.
Well, no, I mean, as we whip around these games and stuff, and of course, you see a lot of the highlight stuff like that. My underappreciated performer, by the way, is Wilf Zaha. Now, bear with me, because everybody knows about Wilf Zaha, but I would just throw... I mean, after seeing him stick this ball in the top corner with a little move, I mean, he's getting double figures nearly every season now. I think last year, was it 13 or 14 Premier League goals? 14, his best ever season. Yeah. I think 11 before that. You know, in a world, in a Premier League world, where there's hundreds of flipping millions spent on wingers and tens of millions on individual players, Wilf Zaha continues to be... Particularly the last couple of seasons under Patrick Vieira, I think he's gone to a whole different level. He's happier. The team plays to his strengths more. He's not running back a lot of the time like he was before. The quality that he has, I think it has been underappreciated. And we know he got the little go at Man United, didn't work out. United weren't, you know, just didn't work out at that time. And there was rumours of Zaha going other places. But I think it's you know, when we see him do his stuff, that's pretty special stuff that he's doing consistently now. And the end product of goals and assists and the threat that he can offer from different positions, I think he has been underappreciated for the last few seasons, given his talents. And people just, oh, yeah, Wilf Zaha, good player, but really good player. When you look at some of the money that others spent on other wingers, have done nowhere near that he's done. So I just wanted to give him a shout after seeing him stick in the top corner. I'm like, you know what? This guy has got a load more talent, maybe. And even end product and meaningful production for his team and his club than maybe some give him credit for. And I just want to give a shout out to Wilf Zaha, having having another good season.
Yeah, it's a really good shout, actually, mate, because I know, obviously, a few people at Palace, Wilf works hard at his game, apparently said he's one of the fittest of the football club. And it's interesting, Rob, because, like, last weekend, you know, and quite rightly, we put out St. Maximin and we say, oh, what a brilliant game and that. So Maximum's not got nowhere near the numbers in the production of Wilf. And Wilf's been doing it a lot more consistently over time. And you're right, for players.
Jadon Sancho, Rob. Yeah. $100 million. Now, he might go on. It's got a future, you know, it's for future potential as well. But, I mean, he ain't done it yet.
Been delivered now. And Wilf's contract's up, but I believe that relationship you've talked about with Patrick Strong, he's a South London boy, this is football club. And, you know, in the past he's been trying to get out, but I get the sense he's a lot happier. And obviously it's showing on the pitch as well. So, yeah, really good shout. Wilf Zaha, underappreciated performer of the week. Great result for Fulham, my friend. Fulham 2, Brighton 1. No surprise, Mitrovic gets a goal there, gets the first one. Duncan goal gets the second. Brighton come back into things, but can't, with a penalty kick. McAllister with a penalty, but can't get it done. And it was a day when Graham Potter said actually the team didn't particularly play that way. But Fulham, mate, are been one of my surprises of the season. And we talked about it last week on the show a little bit. And I'm just delighted that they've come up. They look like they're having a go. They look like they're organised. They're trying to do some more business and get likes of Dan James's talk from Leeds, who I think will be a good addition to their squad. with his pace and ability to counter-attack. Marco Silva's doing a great job. Yeah. And I picked up a stat, my friend.
Oh, no.
No relegated team in the first five games has ever won 8 points and then been relegated.
Wow. Wow. We might have to adjust our... Well, I don't know if you had them going down, but I had them going down. I had the three coming up going down. Mm. And I think they're the ones that surprised me. Absolutely right, Rob. Yeah. I mean, Mitrovic should start. The way the team looks like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. You can just tell. Like, it does feel different. Dan James is a good signing to come in. And that's a great start. 2 wins in 5. I mean, you know, that I'm surprised how well they've done. And Marco Silva's taken a bit of stick in over the years, really.
Yeah.
You know, looking to go to different jobs, Watford, stuff like that.
In Everton and, yeah.
Yeah. So, no, absolutely right. Okay, the other game, Rob, and I did watch this one. Leeds 1, Everton 1. Anthony Gordon again scores for Everton. And Sinisterra, the new lad, that actually shot, because I thought Leeds were a little shot shy trying to play the ball in and very, very narrow attacking-wise, but he got the goal for 1-1. Mm. It's interesting. And Everton interests me, Rob. Again, this is deadline day, so we want to just touch on what they've done. Because my note before in this game, before the deals today are Jussa Garner's gone back to Everton. Yeah. I think he's 32 now. I like it. I mean, that is brilliant for them.
Yeah.
I mean, he talked about coming home. That's a really good bit of business. James Garner for Man United, Rob, as well. Mm. I think signed a long-term contract.
Yeah.
Added to Onana, who played holding in midfield, Rob. They played 4-5-1, Frank Lampard with this Everton side. And Connor Cody and Tarkowski. It's a different back four line.
It's a back four.
With those two centre-back with Onana as a holding guy. And now you've got Jussa Garner, you've got Cody and Tarkowski. That's a better foundation for me. Mm. Now, there's question marks and double Cavaliers to come back and a few other things to go on going forward. They've obviously kept Anthony Gordon, who's fair play to him. He's carried on playing his football. He hasn't been too distracted.
I was going to say, Rob, he deserves a little mention. When you think of what Fofana was going on, and we're hearing these other things involved, whether it's agents and whatever, trying to get involved, this kid's just kept his head down, just got on with football. And that must be a dream move, by the way. You know, 60 million going to Leicester, going to Chelsea and being part of what they're trying to build there. This kid's just got on with his job. Score goals, looks committed, you know, see him going head-to-head with one of Leeds players in terms of it means something to him. I just thought he deserved a little mention, by the way, Anthony Gordon, because for a young player, it must have been a little bit difficult with all that going on and people whispering in his ear, but he's kept on with his football, and fair play to him. Listen, if and when the right time is, if it's not at Everton where he develops fully, he's going to get himself a decent move.
Totally. Well said. Just a couple of thoughts I got on Leeds, Rob, just as we kind of get ready to wrap up here. Jesse Marsh afterwards said, we need more goals. So I think that's what they're lacking at the moment. Of course, it's the hardest thing in the Premier League is to do that. And I mentioned that to a guy again that I mentioned last time, I believe, Tyler Adams. I thought he was excellent again, Rob. Yeah. He looks very comfortable. I mean, Calvin Phillips was a very popular guy, really, really great player. An England starter, you know, in the last European Championships for the most part. Tyler Adams looks very, very good. And again, didn't win in this game, but he's scurrying around. He rarely gives the ball away. Aggressive, tracks people down. Yeah, I'm impressed, really impressed with him.
Yeah. Well, good point of peach for those two. Both, I think, feel they can play better, but picking up points is never a bad thing if you're not on top of your game. Listen, mate, we're going to wrap it up here. It's the end of the deadline. We'll catch up with a few more of the moves and get on video, look at a few more players for the weekend, because you know how difficult it is. That's 5-5 for Mikel Arteta and Arsenal, as they sit probably top of the pile. Liverpool leave it late. United put 3 straight wins together, and early makes goal scoring look easy in the Premier League. We'll be back on Sunday, that's September the 4th, to recap match week 6, where Manchester United host Arsenal at Old Trafford. A big game. Big rewards for two big teams looking to recapture the big days. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. the longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.